How you doing, Nate? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're setting Daf Yud Beis, Daf 12 of Masechta Bava Metzia, friends and friends. Yo, friends, today I think it's going to be a bit of a shorter day. I think it feels like it's going to be a shorter day. Tomorrow is going to be insane. Tomorrow's going to be tomorrow's going to be above Metzia day. That's what tomorrow is. It's mostly today. The Rishta took it easy on us. The Shtickle gave us a little break. We got like halfway through Yud Beis Amud Aleph. We're really only do about 2/3 of Yud Beis Amud Beis. It's not that much to do. It's not that complicated. Tomorrow's gonna be really hard. Okay, let's do it. All right, let's do it. We're gonna start on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Mitzias at the Mishnah about halfway through the Amud. Mitzias Bino Vito Aktanim. Ho ho. If he's got a son or a daughter who are minors, and they find Epis, Mitzias Avdo v'shivchos ha'knainim, or something that is Eved K'naini, or Shivcha K'nainis finds, Mitzias Ishto, what his wife finds, Hare Edu Shelo, in all of these scenarios, right, Bino Vito Aktanim, Avdo v'shivchos ha'knainim, Mitzias Ishto, in all these scenarios, what they find belongs to him. I feel like we're kind of like transitioning. I feel like we're starting to like transition to, well, I guess Shnai Moich is in Betalus. It's like, I don't know, I guess I'm thinking like the next paragraph is like Eilu Metzias Shelo, right? So already like Metzias Bino, we're talking about finding things, but I guess already from the first half, already Shnai Moich is in Betalus is already talking about finding things. It's funny that Bava Metzia talks about Metzias, you finding stuff. Okay, fine. Metzias Ishto Arei Eilu Shelo. Metzias Bino Uvito Agedolim, but things that his adult sons or daughters, Metzias Avdov Shivchasu Ivrim, or his Avodim and Shvachis that are Yidden, Metzias Ishto Shegersha, if he and his wife get divorced, Av Bishlo Nosan Ksuba, even though he hasn't yet paid her Ksuba, Arei Eilu Sheloen, in all of those scenarios, his adult children, Eved and Shifcha Ivrim, as well as his wife who's divorced, if they got divorced, even if he hasn't yet paid the ksuba, in all of those scenarios, what they find belongs to themselves. Says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Mipnei Ma'amu Mitzias Kotin Le'aviv. Ooh, let me roll up my sleeves, 1 second. Why do they say that which a child finds, why does it belong to the father? So again, Amar Shmuel says Shmuel, b'pnei ma'amru mitzias kotin l'aviv. How can they say that which a child finds belongs to his father? Shebishoshe motza, because when a yingle finds epis, meritza etzel aviv. So what happens is, a child finds Epis. What does he do? He doesn't say, oh, I'm going to keep this. He says, oh, let me run and find my father and I will give it to him. So it's interesting. So he's saying because of the psychology of it, that, well, a young fella, we're talking about fellows. Because fella, by the way, right, says, right, b'nurei beis avia, right, kol shvach nurei le'avia, right? I think, right, we already know that a fella, a young fella, what she finds will go to the father. But how do we know a young fellow, what he finds goes to the father? So because, practically speaking, a little guy finds something, he says, wow, and he runs to his father and he gives it to his father. So therefore, that's why the young fellow doesn't keep it, because he doesn't take ownership of it. He immediately doesn't think about himself, he thinks about his father. So again, Amar Shmuel says Shmuel b'pnei ma'amru Mitzias Kotin La'aviv. How come they said that which a young fellow finds belongs to his father? Shebishah Shemotza, because when he finds it, Meritza Eitzel Aviv, he runs and gives it to his father. Ve'enu ma'achar b'yado, and he doesn't keep it for himself. He gives it to his father. Therefore, Memele, it belongs to his father. So is that to say that according to Shmuel, a young fellow doesn't acquire anything for himself, because Well, practically speaking, Mameli is giving it to his father. So Midoraisa, a young fellow, doesn't actually acquire anything for himself. A fellow who hires a worker, an adult worker, a father to work. A fellow who hires a worker. Yilaket bno achrov. So his son can collect leket after him, right? So I guess the assumption is that this worker is poor. And if he is hired as a worker to work in a field, so he could take his son with him. And, you know, what's leket? Leket is the stuff that falls on the ground as they're harvesting. So he could bring his son with him, and then whatever falls on the ground as they're harvesting, the son can pick it up, and then it will be theirs. However, lemechzo lishlish v'lerviya lo yilaket bnoi achrov, but if the arrangement was that, like a sharecropping arrangement, which is that this worker actually is a part owner of the field, that he is entitled to, right, lemechzo lishlish v'lerviya, either 50%, a third, a quarter of the field, but he's, yeah, right, as we're going to see in a minute, he's considered an oshir. He's not considered an ani, at least with regard to this field. He's considered an owner of the field. So therefore, in that case, the child, he cannot bring his child to collect the leket, because whatever the child collects, memela belongs to the father. And therefore, he can't be collecting the leket in this field where he's a part owner. Yossi, Omer says Rabbi Yossi, however, Bein kach uvein kach yilaket bno v'ishto achrov, whereas Rabbi Yossi says that no, it doesn't matter what the arrangement is, whether he's being hired to work the field or whether he is a part owner of the field. It makes no difference. Either way, the child can, he can bring his child and the child can collect. So it sounds like, according to Rabbi Yossi, what a child collects is for himself. And therefore, even though his father is considered a part owner of the field and would be considered an usher, he would not be considered an ani and would not be able to collect leket. But the child is collecting for himself, according to Rabbi Yossi, seemingly at least, is collecting for himself. And therefore, the child would be considered an ani and the child can collect the leket. V'omer Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Yossi. And Shmuel Taka says that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. So it sounds, like Shmuel is saying that what a child collects belongs to himself, belongs to him. He takes ownership of it. So why did Shmuel just explain that a child doesn't take ownership of things? Because Memele gives it to his father, so his father owns it, the child doesn't own it. And yet, Shmuel says that Lachas HaKob Yossi, that the father could bring his child to collect after him while he's harvesting, even if he's a sharecropper on that field. So in explaining this braise, the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yossi, I can understand if you say that ko'in is lezchiel inafshe, that according to Rabbi Yossi, a child can right, what he picks up belongs to him, mida oraise, and therefore ki ko milaket linafshe ko milaket. And therefore, what the child is collecting belongs to the child. And then when the father takes this produce, he's taking it from the child, but it belongs to the child first and foremost. So I can understand why, even when according to Rabbi Yossi, even when the father is a sharecropper, and the father would not be allowed to collect leket, but the child can, because he's collecting for himself. And we're saying that Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, which means that Shmuel would say that the child can collect for himself. But if you say that a Kohen cannot collect for himself, and that a Mele belongs to the father, but then I don't understand how Rabbi Yossi would be able to say that when he's a sharecropper, he could bring his kid with him. Ki kamalaket, when the kid picks up the stuff, la'aviv kamalaket, he's picking it up for his father. Ve'avua osherhu, and his father would be considered an usher. He's a part owner of this field. He wouldn't be able to collect. Amai ishto uvanov uvno malaket achrov. Then why would his wife and child be able to come and harvest with him? To come with him and pick up the stuff that falls on the ground. So to recap, Shmuel adds. So our Mishnah had said that whatever a child finds belongs to the father. Shmuel explained our Mishnah that yes, whatever the child finds belongs to the father, does not belong to the child, because memele, anything a child picks up, he goes and runs and gives it to his father, he never himself takes ownership of it. So therefore the Gemara says, okay, so it sounds like Shmuel says that a child can never take ownership of something, yet Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yossi, who says that a father could bring his child with him, even when to harvest with him, even when he's a sharecropper, and the father would not be allowed to have access to the, would not be allowed to collect the leket, and yet his son is allowed to, which means that the son is collecting for himself and not for his father. And Shmuel says the halacha is like that, is like Rabbi Yossi. So what's pshat? On the one hand, it sounds like Shmuel is saying that a child cannot collect, does not collect for himself, and yet at the same time, Shmuel is saying that the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, who seems to be saying that a child does collect for himself. So, and for the Gemara, Shmuel taima d'tana didon ka'amar v'leilo svirle. So the Gemara answers, yeah, no big deal. Shmuel, when he talks about the child giving it to the father and therefore doesn't take ownership of it, he's simply explaining our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that anything that a child finds belongs to the father. Shmuel's explaining our Mishnah. How come the Tana of our Mishnah says that anything that the child finds belongs to the father? Because the Tana of our Mishnah holds that, well, a child, anything he finds, he runs and gives it to his father, therefore it doesn't belong to the kid. That's not Shmuel's opinion. He doesn't agree with that. That he's explaining our Mishnah. Shmuel himself, however, holds like Rabbi Yossi's opinion, which is that a child would collect for himself. And as we see, that a father could take his son with him to collect the leket while he's harvesting, even if he's a sharecropper, because the child is collecting for himself. That is actually what Shmuel holds. V'sover Rabbi Yossi ka'inis ezchiyo midoi raise, but the Gemara says, wait a second, we were just explaining that with the whole leket thing and the sharecropper thing, Rabbi Yossi says that he could bring his kid with him because the kid is collecting for himself. But does Rabbi Yossi really hold, right? V'sover Rabbi Yossi ka'in isle zechir midoraisa. Does Rabbi Yossi really hold that a ka'in can collect for himself midoraisa, make a kinyan midoraisa for himself? V'otanam, we learn in the Mishnah, mitzias cheirish shoyte v'ka'in, that which a cheirish shoyte or a ka'in finds, yesh b'ayim mishum gezel, so you can't steal it from them. Okay, if a child finds an antique chair, you can't take it from him. Mipnei da'kei shulim, because of the ways of the peace. Because it wouldn't be very nice. What kind of a society would that be if the adults take away antique chairs from little kids? So mida oraisa, yeah, the kid doesn't take ownership of it. But because of the ways of the peace, we say leave him alone. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomer. Rabbi Yossi says if you would take it from the Kohen, it would be complete theft. The Omer of Chizda says of Chizda Gezel Gomer midivrayin nafkamina lotzia b'dayonin. Rabbi Chizda says that when Rabbi Yossi says that it's complete Gezel to steal from a kid, it's complete Gezel midirabonin, not midaraisa. Midirabonin. What's the difference between if you say Darkei Shalom versus Gezel Gomer midirabonin? The difference is, can you extract it from the thief in court, right? If you take the thief to court, can you take it away? According to Tanakama, no, you can't take it away from the thief because it was only because of Darkei Shalom that said not to do it. But Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's Gezel Gomer Midirabonin, you can even take it away from the thief. Fine. But we see that according to Rabbi Yossi, that a Kohen does not acquire the antique chair Midoraisa. It's only Midirabonin, Gezel Gomer Midirabonin. But not Midoraisa. So on the one hand, we wanted to say that the father could take along his kid to harvest the field because the kid would be koneh himself. Yet at the same time, Rabbi Yossi is saying that no, a kid is not koneh midoraisa, only midorabanan. And if that's the case, then how could the father take his kid with him? Because memele, the kid is only koneh midorabanan, but really it belongs to the father. So how could he take his father with him to harvest? So, Elo Omer Abaye Sa'ur Kimisha Ochuba Nemushes, Danim Gufayu Maschidai Tayu, Savir Bre Deheich Melaktele. This is Givaldik, Chever. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Listen up. Rabbi Yossi does not hold that the kid is Kone, the Kone stuff, Midoraisa for himself. As we just saw, the Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that if a kid finds an antique chair, so you can't take it away from him, that's Midorabanan. Midoraisa, technically you could, because he doesn't make a kinyan Midoraisa. A kid doesn't make a kinyan Midoraisa, even according to Rabbi Yossi. So if that's the case, then why is the father allowed to take his kid along with him to harvest the field when he's a part owner? The kid, when he picks it up, it's going to belong to the father. That's not allowed. So says Abaye, the reason why, even though the kid is not kone midoraisa, the reason why the father is allowed to bring his kid, because they treat it like she'olchu b'nemushes. What's she'olchu b'nemushes? It means that when it comes to leket, the owner of the field is not allowed to collect the leket. He has to leave it for the anim. But if one round of anim came and they took what they took, another round of anim came and they took what they took, at that point, whatever still remains, he can keep at that point. And we treat the father bringing his kid with him to work basically as though whatever is left over is for them. Because the anim gufayu maschi daitayu, because when the anim come by the field and they see, oh wow, okay, somebody's harvesting the field, and then they see, oh wait, but he brought his kid with him, they said, alright, let's go to the next field, for sure they're taking it. They figure there's no point of us waiting around and collecting the leket. His kid's obviously going to take it. So therefore, because memele, all the aniyim are going to move on to the next field and they're not actually going to collect anything. So if nobody's collecting, so then they can take it for themselves. So therefore, it's not that when Rabbi Yossi says that the kid, he could bring his kid with him to collect the leket, it's not because the kid is being koneh for himself. No, the kid is being koneh for the father. Why is that allowed? He's a sharecropper. Why is that allowed? It's allowed because just like after two rounds of aniyim have collected leket, then at that point, you know, whatever's left is yours. Nobody else is taking it. So here also, nobody's coming to collect the leket because they see that he brought his kid and they're going to move on to the next field because there's no point in waiting around because obviously the kid's going to take it. So they don't even consider taking it. And if they're not going to take it, then the father and the son can take it for themselves. Omer of Adar bar Masna l'Abaye, but then says Adar bar Masna, Rav Adar bar Masna to Abaye, v'chi mutu l'adam l'harbitz ari b'soch sadeu k'de shiru aniyim v'yivruchu. Come on! Is that really an acceptable strategy? Is a person allowed to bring a lion with him to the field to scare away all the aniyim and then say, great, the aniyim aren't going to be taking it, I'll take it for myself, I may as well. You can't do that. You can't scare away the aniyim and then say, okay, well, I guess I'll take it for myself. Nobody else is going to take it. Here also, you can't take your kid with you so that all the aniyim will see and they'll move on to the next field. You're not allowed to do that. So Elom Ravi rather says, Ravi, and also she'enu zoiche ki zoiche maitama aniyim gufayu nichalu ki eichi dichi agu ledidu nilkot bonayu basrayu. Rava gives a different answer. He says, look, even though in general the kid would not be allowed to go with his father to work because he's going to be collecting for his father and that's not allowed. However, here's the thing. The aniyim themselves who were out, you know, who were looking for their interest, well, you know what's in their interest? Their interest is for this kid to collect for his father because what goes around comes around. Because if this father is allowed to take his kid with him and the kid will collect the leket, well, guess what? When they get hired for a job, they'll bring their kids. Kilu, it's full circle. The aniyim themselves are completely fine with that because if his kid wouldn't be allowed to collect it, then that means that their kids aren't allowed to collect it, but they want their kids to collect it. So, you know, kind of what goes around comes around. It's all, you know, part of a bigger system. You know, the aniyim say, you know what, it's fine. If this guy, who's a sharecropper, wants to bring his kid with him and the kid will collect the leket, we have no problem with that because guess what? We'll do the same thing. When we get hired, as sharecroppers, we'll bring our kids and we'll collect the leket. So therefore, it's completely okay with them. And that is why it is allowed. But in terms of kinyonim, yeah, whatever the kid is kona, it goes to the father. Goes to the father. And if that's the case, then we can understand Shmuel. Shmuel had said, right, how come whatever a kid picks up belongs to his father? Because Mimele gives it to his father, and that's what Shmuel believes that to be true. That a kid does not make a kinyan, midoraisa. Midoraisa belongs to the father. If that's the case, then how can Rabbi Yossi say that a sharecropper could bring his kid along with him to harvest the field? Because we saw two opinions. Abaye said because it's considered right shalchu nemushes. Rava says because the aniyim would prefer it this way that they'd be able to bring their kid to collect the leket and therefore you know all the aniyim sort of would consent to such an activity, and that makes it okay. Ufliga adubchia bar abba. Our assumption up until now that a katan is referring to a young fellow, right? Shmuel says, well, this little guy, he's gonna find something, and then he's of course the first thing he's gonna think about is let me run to my father. We're talking about little children. But this argues on Reb Chiya bar Abba, the Amr Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amr Reb Yechanon, lo gadol gadol mamish v'lo koin koin mamish elo gadol v'samach al shulchan aviv zehu koin koin v'enu samach al shulchan aviv zehu gadol. When it comes to ownership, when we talk about when a koin finds something that belongs to his father, what's the definition of a koin? Reb Chiya bar Abba says in the name of Reb Yochanan that the definition of a koin is not somebody who's 3 years old. Definition of a koin, in the terms of does it belong to the father or not, is his father paying for his life? Is he dependent on his father? If his father is paying, if his father is, you know, if he's dependent on his father, well then I don't care how old he is. If he finds something, then it belongs to his father. If his father is kind of paying for his food and his living expenses and everything like that, then Mishum Eva, right, you know, so that nobody gets upset, nobody ruffles any feathers. If the kid finds something, it belongs to the father. I don't care how old he is. Even if he's 20 years old, even if he's 36 years old, it belongs to the to the father. But but the same thing, the opposite is also true. If you have a little kid, you know, Nebuch has to fend for himself. Well, then what he finds, he keeps. It doesn't go to his father. So therefore, So our assumption up until now that when we're talking about a minor, we're talking about a little kid, that is unlike Reb Chiya bar Abba. Let's read that again. It's not the argument of Reb Chiya bar Abba. The Amr Reb Chiya bar Abba, Amr Yochanan, lo gadol gadol mamish lo koin koin mamish. When we're talking about gadol and koin, it doesn't mean, you know, adult and minor. El gadol v'samach al shulchan aviv zehu koin. If you have an adult who is dependent on his father, well, then he's considered a koin with regard to things that he finds belong to his father. Koin ve'enu samach al shulchan aviv, but a minor, but who needs to fend for himself, zeo gadol, he would be considered an adult, and what he finds, he would keep for himself. The Mishnah had said, Metzias avdov shivchosu ha'ivrim are elu shel atzmon, that if an Eved Ivri or an Amo Ivriya finds Epis, then they can keep it. Amai, why can they keep it? Lo ye ela poyo. We should treat an Eved Ivri like a worker. Vitani, we learned in the Braisa, we've seen this before, right? Where have we seen this? And Daf Yud. Metzias poyo le'atzmo. That a worker who finds something, he can keep it. Bamid v'amemurim, when do we say this? Bizman sho'omer lo nachesh imi ayom ader imi ayom. If the arrangement is, right, that the employer, the balabayis, specifies the work to do, right? Weed with me today, dig with me today. Aval omer lo, ase imi melocha ayom. But if it's more general, just do work with me today, well then, mitziyosu le balabayis, that, right, what the worker finds will belong to the balabayis. And in Eved, is sort of more of like an open-ended kind of thing, and therefore I would think that anything that he finds should belong to the balabais. Why are we say, or to the adon? Why are we saying that he can keep it for himself? So we give three answers. Interesting. This is talking about an eved who has a very specialized skill. He puts holes in pearls. He a very specialized, important, expensive skill that he works with, like you know, pearls. So therefore, he wouldn't be able to stop what he's doing for anything. You know, what he's doing. You know, the value per hour is quite high. And therefore, to stop what he's doing to find let's not say an antique chair, because maybe that could be expensive, but a plastic chair, a folding chair. He finds a folding chair. He can't stop what he's doing to find to go get a folding chair, because the work that he's doing, the value is much higher. So you can't stop something high value in order to find something, in order to go tend to something that's low value. Now. The thing is that the Adon never took into account that maybe he'll find something really, really expensive. Maybe he'll find Epis some kind of very, very expensive thing. Meaning when the Adon assumes that the Eved cannot stop what he's doing to pick up some Metziah, that's something low value. The Adon never considered that he might find something that maybe the Eved will find something that's even more expensive than these pearls. And therefore, should the scenario arise that he does in fact find something that's super duper expensive, well then the Adon never took that into account, and he can go and collect that thing and he would keep it for himself, because Adon never assumed that it was part of the arrangement. He could keep it for himself. I believe Rashi points out that he would still nonetheless have to, you know, pay back the Adon for the time that he spent picking it up. But that is the scenario where he would be able to keep it for himself. Rava says, well, a scenario would be if he doesn't have to stop what he's doing in order to pick up the thing. I don't know what he's doing, but whatever he's doing, he doesn't need to stop it in order to pick up this thing, so then he can keep it for himself because he's not having to stop, interrupt his work to do it. That it's talking about Vechidami de Akpe Agma Bekafre. So says Rav Pope that when we say that which a laborer finds belongs to the balabayis, it's specifically kigon shesachor lelaket mitzias. Davka, he's being hired in order to collect found things. Vechidami, for example, what the akbe agma bekavi. For example, a river overflowed and then the water dried up, and now there's all these fish that are just lying there for the taking. So if he was hired to find them, so obviously whatever he finds goes to the Baal HaBayis. But other than that, if he wasn't hired to find things, well, then he would be able to keep it. And that's why we're saying that the Eved Ivri Oichid would be able to keep the stuff that he finds. Hayshifcha Eichidami. What is pshat with the shifcha? Right, we said that a shifcha, right, an Amo Ivriya, if she finds something, she can keep it. But I don't understand. Ida Isishte Cyrus. If she already has two pubic hairs, well then, my boy Yagabe, why is she still an Amor Ivriya? She goes free when she reaches Shtei Cyrus. V'i delo Isi Shtei Cyrus. Okay, fine. So it's prior to Shtei Cyrus. Well, but I still don't understand. Yise la'av, if the father's alive, davu ahavya. Well, anything that she finds belongs to her father. So why would she keep it? It would belong to her father. V'i delese la'av, and if the father is gishturbin, tepuk b'misas av, well then she would go free when the father passes away. Damar Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish says Masechta Kiddushin, Amo Ivriya Kona Atzma B'Misa Sa'av Meishu Sa'adu Mekav HaChomer. That Rish Lakish learns out from a Kav HaChomer that when her father passes away, she goes free from her Adon. She's no longer an Amor Ivriya, because right, we say that if Shtei Cyrus, the Kav HaChomer is that if when it comes to Shtei Cyrus, where it's, once she reaches Shtei Cyrus, she's a Naira, she's still in the domain of her father, and yet she would leave the domain of her Adon. Well, Misa Sa'av, where she leaves the domain, right, when her father passes away, she leaves his domain, and she can now, right, or nobody else has the option to marry her off, Midoraisa. So she leaves her domain when he dies. So then certainly if he dies, he should leave the Adon's domain. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. If she has reached puberty, she won't be an Amor Ivriya anymore. If her father is still alive, well then whatever she finds belongs to her father, not herself. If her father is not alive, Rish Lakish says that she goes free. V'lav itos of Rish Lakish, but didn't we ask Akasha on Rish Lakish? So therefore, maybe even when the father passes away, she would still be and Amo Ivriya. Name Mahai Nami Tavit Yufta. And then why don't we say that this is also Takakasha and Rish Lakish, right? Rish Lakish says that when the father passes away, she goes free. Why don't we ask Akasha and Rish Lakish from our Mishnah, which says that anything that an Amo Ivriya finds belongs to her? What would be the scenario? Wouldn't it have to be the scenario when her, right, if her father's alive, it would belong to her father. If she's reached puberty, she would go free already. So it must be where she is still an Amor Ivriya, she hasn't reached puberty, and her father is not alive, and she can keep it. So shouldn't that be Akasha? So that implies that she's still an Amor Ivriya, and she keeps what she finds. So shouldn't that also be Akasha and Rish Lakish, that an Amor Ivriya remains an Amor Ivriya, even after the father's dead? No, I'll say it's talking about the father is still alive. My arein shaloin. So what does it mean that she can, that it belongs to her? Lafuke de rabba, meaning it doesn't belong to her adam. It belongs to her, meaning, and then it goes to her father. So it's talking about where her father's alive, and whatever she finds will go to her father. But the point is, it doesn't go to the right. It's hers to the extent that it stays with her, and then Mimele goes to her father. It doesn't go to the adam. Metzias ishto, if his wife finds eppers, right? If they got divorced, so then whatever she finds belongs to her, even if he hasn't yet given her a ksuba. Gersha pshita. Obviously, if they're divorced, whatever she finds belongs to herself. Hachav ma'iskin, and here, what are we talking about? B'migoreshes v'ene migoreshes. It's talking about suffik migoreshes, right? He threw it to her, and it's unclear if it's closer to her or closer to him. Suffik migoreshes. So, the Amar Reb Zera, Amishmul, kol makom sh'amu chachav migoreshes v'ene migoreshes, by l'chai b'mzonosel. The Reb Zera says in the name of Shmuel that whenever we say, right, whenever you have a suffik divorced or not, so he still has to pay for her food. Now, the whole point of whatever she finds belongs to him is because, well, since he's paying for her food, it's only fair that whatever she finds belongs to him. And if they don't have that arrangement, if he's paying for her food and whatever she finds she keeps, they'll get very upset and they won't be happy with each other. But time in my Amar Rabbanim, it says, Isha Levaila, Kechid Zot Avila Eva, Hocha Isla Eva Ve'eva. But the thing is, they're already divorced. So meaning, but the whole arrangement is that, well, if he's paying for her food, then whatever she finds belongs to him. It's only fair. And if you don't do that, everyone's going to get upset. The thing is, in the current scenario, they're already divorced. Well, they're a suffolk divorced, which means that clearly things aren't going well already. Everybody's already upset already. Now, the halacha is he still has to pay for her food. Now, the only reason why whatever she finds would go to him is so that they don't get upset with each other. They're clearly already upset with each other. So the whole whatever she finds thing goes to him is irrelevant at this point, and therefore whatever she finds, she can keep. Chaver, that was Daf Yud Beis of Masechta Bava Metzia. Kind of interesting stuff. We talked for the first part of the Daf about if a young fellow finds Epis, who does it belong to? We say that Midoraisa, it would belong to the father. We had interesting shilas about Leket. And then, yeah, we talked about different people finding different things, like Vodim, and Amos, and divorced wives, and all right, peace out.